All right, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chris Dixon, and welcome back to another episode of the Tunnel Vision Podcast. Hope everyone is doing good and well today, wherever you're at, whatever time zone you're in. Hope you're doing well. I'm out here at the lake, here at this local college, here in my city. So just chilling for a little while before I head in. Just left the grocery store. Just picking up some things. But this particular episode, I'm just going to go over very briefly the seven laws of the Kabbalion, also known as the seven laws of Tahuti, who was an Egyptian god in Egyptian mythology. These particular seven cosmic laws of the universe is attributed to him. This particular study is very important to understand, not only when it comes down to the practice of magic and the occult, and understanding the various systems of magic. It's also very important because it helps you understand how this particular universe that we are part of, how it operates, and how we relate to it, so to speak. The things we do, the things we experience, it's going to somehow fall in alignment with these seven principles. And they are mentalism, correspondence, vibration, polarity, rhythm, cause and effect, and gender, right? The first principle being mentalism, from my perspective, is the most important because it describes how everything in a universe is mental, right? The saying goes, the all is mind, the universe is mental. And the all is the concept or the phrase that the ancient hermetic masters, or the ancient occult masters, how they described, you know, this infinite intelligence that we call God, right? Source, spirit, etc. They simply referred to it as the all, because it's literally everything, right? There's nothing that doesn't exist outside of the all, right? You know, it's infinite, right? It has no beginning, has no end. It just is. So they refer to it as the all. And this great infinite intelligence is literally a reflection of our own mind, right? So this universe, when they say the all is mind, the universe is mental, what they're describing is how this particular universe is literally a direct reflection of our imagination and minds, right? And majority of the things we experience day by day is a direct reflection of our thoughts, right? Our thoughts are very important to understand and study because they determine what type of reality we're going to have, you know, based on our thoughts. The subconscious mind being the most important aspect of our minds, because that's what generates our reality, you know, based on, you know, what it's programmed with, right? And it carries it out into the physical, right? And just overall, just the thoughts we have that just, that's a part of our nature, you know, how we think. You know, we pull down these particular realities based on the mental, you know, plane, so to speak. Because that's where everything starts, it's on the mental plane, right? So it's very important that you understand your thoughts, you know. That's why it's very important to stay consistent in your spirituality, you know, your spiritual practices, whether that be meditation, prayer for some people, journaling, you know, very important that you write down your thoughts that you have, so that you can keep a record, you know, day by day of what's going on inside of your mind, right? Some people seek out therapy and counseling, you know, which is very good too, in helping you process your thoughts. But the things you experience, they first originate on a mental plane, right? And that's a very important concept to understand, especially when it comes down to the practice of magic, right? The rituals and the spells, you know, and things of that nature that we do on this path really are just simply tools. You know, the magic is not necessarily coming from the spells and the rituals. It's really coming from your divine mind, right? The rituals and things of that nature that we utilize on this path are just tools that we use to help us tap in. You know, they're not necessarily needed, you know, to manifest the life that you want and desire. Because once you get really good at using your mind and your visualizations, you know, you can simply pull things from just simply meditation, right? And of course, you know, you're putting in the work alongside to get what you want and desire. You know, you really don't have to do any rituals or spells, right? But at times, you know, they're very useful, you know, in helping you tap into, you know, your divine mind and imagination. So that's the principle of mentalism, right? The first principle. Like I said, I feel that it's the most important one, you know, myself. The next principle is correspondence. You've heard the term, or the saying, as above, so below, as within, so without. So pretty much what correspondence is talking about is how different things, you know, are going to have a corresponding aspect to it, so to speak. So for an example, have, like I said, the 72 Goetias of King Solomon, or Solomonic magic. Then you have the 72 angels of the Shemha Mepharash, right, within that same system of Solomonic magic, right? So you have the 72 Damians, or demons, so to speak, also known as the Lesser Keys of Solomon. Then you have the 72 Greater Keys of Solomon, known as the Angels. But they correspond to each other, right? They're not against each other. So in magic, you know, working with the Goetias and working with the Angels, right, you're utilizing, you know, these particular forces, you know, both are different in their own way, but they're very similar as well. But they're corresponding systems, right? That's one example. You also have the concept of you know, how the infinite intelligence, you know, that we call the all, the spirit source, etc., how it manifests on an external level, you know, within our universe. So just as it manifests on the external level and the things that it created, right, it also manifests inside of us, right? So that's where you get the whole concept of as above, so below, as within, so without, right? So that's how the law of correspondence, you know, what that particular law is describing. You also have the Star of David, right? That's the symbol of correspondence within itself. It's not necessarily referring to an actual star that was attributed to David in the Bible. It's really a symbol. Of course, it's called the hexagram, but it's a symbol that consists of two triangles. One of them is going up and the other one is pointing down, and they are connected as one. Okay, describing correspondence, you know, like I said, as above, which would be the triangle going up, so below, the triangle going down, right? So that particular symbol is describing correspondence, right? Also the four elements, you know, fire, air, water, and earth, right? So that's another example of correspondence, so to speak. Then you have the next principle of vibration, pretty much describing, you know, nothing ever being at rest. You know, everything is always consistently moving, and everything is always vibrating, so to speak. So for an example, you know, we as human beings, we have an energy field known as the aura, so to speak. And our aura, you know, sends out, you know, frequencies, right? Or what you would call vibrations, right? Energetic frequencies. And, you know, based on how we're feeling, you know, based on, you know, what our mood is like, you know, that will determine the type of frequencies that we send out to our environment, and that will literally dictate the environment around us, right? People will be affected, you know, within our environment, you know, based on how we're feeling, right? So if you're in a positive mood, you know, you're sending out positive frequencies or positive vibrations, and that's going to affect people around you, right? It's going to make other people feel good and positive, you know, being around you. And it's also going to affect people that's negative too, you know, people who just don't like to be around positive people or like to hear anything positive. Just that frequency of positivity is going to affect them too. So it's going to affect your whole environment, and vice versa, you know, having negative feelings, you know, that's going to affect people around you as well. You know, other people will start to feel down and out when they come around you, right? Because that's the frequency that you're giving out, so to speak. But you have the ability, you know, and it's not just magicians and occult practitioners, you know, any individual has this ability to change their vibration, right? You can change your vibration and the vibration of others, right? So that's why, you know, people say all the time, you know, you should, you know, vibrate high, you know, be in positive spirits the best you can, you know, in spite of what's going on around you that's, you know, maybe chaotic or rough around the edges, right? Always, you know, keep your vibration high, you know what I'm saying? And do what you have to do to keep that, right? Meditate, spend time out in nature, you know, go to the park, you know, spend time with your friends and your families, your loved ones, and, You know, just be aware of the things you consume, you know, television, music, you know, because those things have an effect on your vibration as well, so to speak. So that's just, you know, another example of, you know, changing the vibration, right? Changing your vibration. And you change your vibration, you can literally alter and change the vibration within your environment, right? So we have these abilities, so to speak. The next principle is polarity. And this is pretty much describing how everything has its pair of opposites. So for an example, you have the concept of temperature, right? You have two temperatures. You have hot, you have cold, you know what I'm saying? 2 degrees of the same principle, right? They're just different in, you know, their frequencies and how they operate, or so to, you know, you can say it that way. You got light, you got darkness, you know, both are one and the same. You know, they're not separate, you know, from each other. They're both connected as one, right? That's why when you look at the yin-yang symbol, you know, one aspect of it is black, you know, would represent, of course, the dark side, but also the divine feminine. And then you have the white aspect of it, which will represent the divine masculine and, you know, chaos and order, so to speak. But the divine feminine and the divine masculine connected as one, you know, you get balance, right? So that just, that's polarity, you know, being symbolized through that particular symbol. Even when it comes down to the concept of good and evil, right? Just 2 different degrees of one polarity, so to speak. When you read in the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7, you know, polarity is described in that scripture, where God says, he forms the darkness and he forms the light. He creates good things and he creates calamities, so to speak. In the King James Version, he says he creates good things and evil as well. But I, the Lord, do all these things. So what he, so what's the Bible is describing is the principle of polarity, right? So in actuality, you know, what you would call God and the devil, there's really no separation between the two. They're actually one, just different degrees of polarity, right? It's understanding science. It's not looking at things from a good / evil or good versus evil perspective. Is really just understanding, you know, polarity, right? You know, from a relative sense, you know, good and evil, you know, does exist, but from the metaphysical perspective, is really just talking about, you know, 2 degrees, different degrees of one polarity, so to speak. So when you understand, you know, polarity, you really understand that we don't really live in a dualistic universe, so to speak. We don't really have a dualistic nature, right? We have 2 natures that's a part of 1 concept, or like I said, 1 polarity. You know, you got your higher self, or your highest nature. Then you have your lower self, right? Your lower, you know, base desires, you know, lusts, you know, cravings, and things of that nature. You know, both are connected as one. And it's about balance, you know what I'm saying? Understanding the importance of balance in everything you do, right? So that's polarity, you know, learning how to balance out both aspects of your nature, right? Indulge, but indulge responsibly, right? You don't necessarily repress, you know, both of your natures. You know, it's a time to indulge and it's a time not to, right? The next principle will be rhythm. And this is pretty much talking about how everything is constantly flowing. There's always an action and a reaction, right? So a good example would be if somebody, in most cases, you know, the average person, if somebody puts their hands on you, you know, you're going to hit them back, you know, automatically, you know, and it just happens, right? Somebody pushes you, you push them back, right? That's the rhythm of it. You know, it's the constant flow of things, right? And it just happens, and it just happens naturally in most cases. Like I said, if somebody puts their hands on you, like I said, you're gonna hit them back in most cases, right? Rhythm is, of course, in music. You know, when you dance to music, right? So when a song comes on, you know, you adjust to, you know, the beat of the music, the sound, right? And you adjust, you know, your dance. You start dancing in alignment with the way the music is being carried out, right? So it's going along with the rhythm of it. So it's in everything, you know, everything is constantly flowing, right? Then you have the principle of cause and effect. You know, every cause has its effect, and every effect has its cause, right? And this is where, you know, religion, you know, gets the concept of karma from, you know. And this originated with, you know, Hinduism, right? And even different aspects of Buddhism, where, you know, if you do good deeds, you know, good things that happen to you. You know, if you do bad deeds, you know, bad deeds happen to you, so to speak. But that's not necessarily what cause and effect is referring to. It's not necessarily having anything to do with morality, so to speak. It's really just understanding that, you know, with your actions, there's going to always be a particular outcome that's going to pretty much bring balance to the equation, right? So that's where the Bible gets you reap what you sow, right? So if you're constantly going around mistreating people and being intentional about it, you know, mistreating people, bullying people, you know, so forth and so forth, eventually you're going to come across somebody who that it's not going to fly with, you know what I'm saying? And they're going to put you in your place. And once that happens, that's when the concept of balance comes into play, right? Balance is officially restored, right, on your behalf, so to speak. And in most cases, you know, you will learn from the experience, like, oh, there is somebody out here, you know, who ain't gonna tolerate my mess. You know what I'm saying? So that's what comes out of cause and effect. You know, it's really just understanding that your actions are gonna always have an outcome, so to speak. Doesn't really have anything to do with good or bad, because you can be a good person and carry out good deeds and still bad things can happen to you. You know, that's just the way the world is. So it's not really talking about morality and the things you do, you know, far as good or bad is concerned, right? That's not primarily what it's talking about. It's just really just understanding that your actions are going to have a reaction, so to speak. And the last principle being gender. And the principle of gender is pretty much describing how everything has both the masculine principle and the feminine principle a part of it, right? So for an example, you know, we as human beings, we have both the masculine principle and the female or the feminine principle within us. No man is 100% masculine and no woman is 100% feminine, right? Both men and women have both principles in them, right? So the aspect of our nature, you know, when we're striving to be strong in our emotions, you know what I'm saying? When something bad happens, we try our best to be strong, you know, in how we feel. You know, some people would say being stoic, right? That would be a good example of the masculine principle being tapped into. And of course, you know, showing emotion, you know, showing feelings, you know, you may shed a tear or two, you know, about something bad that happened, you know, that's the feminine principle within us that we're tapping into. So it's really just understanding these two principles, how they're connected as one, you know. The Hermetists, they understood the all to not necessarily be just masculine and just feminine. You know, they understood it to be, you know, both. So for me, that's why I like to refer to this higher intelligence that we call spirit, source, God, so to speak, as an it, not so much a he or a she, because it's not just one or the other, it's both. But you know, when religion started to come into play and, you know, the concept of gods and goddesses started to become established, that's how those two principles really started to break off, you know what I'm saying, and become somewhat, to a degree, separate, but in actuality, they're always one, right? So that's where you get gods and goddesses from. And when you look at the different mythologies and pantheons of deities, it's always a god, a goddess, and the sun, or life, so to speak. So the masculine principle being the god connected with the female principle being a goddess, you know, you get what they would call the Holy Trinity, right? Every culture, civilization, mythology has a Holy Trinity, right? So for an example, you know, you deal with Hinduism, you have Kali and Shiva, right? The divine counterpart, you know, the masculine being Shiva, Kali being the feminine counterpart, but they both are connected as one. You have Osiris and Isis, right? Connected as one. In Christianity, you know, when you deal with the Gnostic Christians, they understood the female counterpart to Jesus was Mary Magdalene, right? So even in that, in the Christ story, the story of Jesus, even he has a female counterpart who the Gnostics consider to be Mary Magdalene, right? So almost everywhere you look, there's gonna always be both principles present, and both are actually connected, right? So that's really understanding what gender means, the principle of gender, right? And its importance. But that's pretty much it. That's all I wanted to talk about for this particular episode. Just wanted to go in and build briefly on the seven laws of Tahuti and their importance in understanding, you know, spirituality and just overall how this universe operates and how we relate to it and how these particular laws, you know, affect us and how we work in alignment with them, right? But that's all I got for this particular episode. The next episode, it may be two, maybe three. It all depends when I go into it. But I'm going to be building from the book called The Magician, or The Magician, by Philip Cooper, A Study in Effective Magic. And this is one of the most commonly read books in the occult. Came out in the 90s. It's a very popular book, but it has a lot of good information in there about magic. He breaks down very plainly on how magic operates, you know, removing the superstition that people have of it, and just pretty much clearing these things up. He goes very deep, goes in very deep on the subconscious mind, and how the subconscious is what generates our reality based on what it's programmed with. So he talks a lot about subconscious programming and things of that nature. So I'm going to go in and deal with some excerpts from this particular book. You can get it on Amazon for $36. I know there's people out there selling this book for thousands of dollars because the original copy is out of print, but I literally got it on Amazon for $36. The only thing that's different from this copy, the newer copy, from the older copy, is just the book design, actually. That's about it. But it's the same material, right? So yeah, you can order that book on Amazon for $36, right? But that's all I got for this particular episode. I hope that you all enjoyed it. Hope that you all will continue to do good and well, day by day. And I will talk to you all on the next episode. Peace.